Yeah, we'll read verses 1 through 13 just to refresh ourselves where we're at. We're talking about the grace of God in the life of Gideon and how God used Gideon to deliver God's people out of the oppression of the Midianites. And in Judges chapter 6, verses 1 through 13, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds." I mean, think about that. They weren't even able to stay in their homes. I mean, they had to flee their homes and make homes in the mountains and dig out caves and dens just so they would have shelter. I mean, it's not that they were just having their livestock taken and having anything that they planted destroyed by the Midianites, but they were even being ran out of their homes and not allowed to go into their homes. "And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them, and they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice." Before I read on, just think about this. Just think about the oppression that God allowed into the lives of his people because of the fact that they stopped trusting God, they stopped worshiping God, they stopped following God. And God tells them, I mean, here they are, they're already being oppressed by the Midianites. They're starving because there's no sustenance, there's no livestock, nothing for them. The Midianites just continue to take whatever little they have and whatever they sow and try to grow. They come in, they take it, they destroy it. They're living in the mountains. They're living among the dens, the caves. That they're just trying to survive. And they cry out to God. You can almost hear them crying out to God, why are you allowing this? Why is this happening? God, help us. And God sends a prophet to tell them why they're being oppressed. And it's because of their sin. Sometimes God's people that turn their backs on God and don't follow God and don't trust God, they become oppressed in their life. They feel like there's no hope. They feel like there's nothing they can do. And they wonder why God isn't helping them. And it's not the fact that God can't help them. It's the fact because of their sin that they need to repent of, their sin that they need to admit that they have committed against God. Again, God is for his people, but when his people turn their back on God, what's left? I mean, it's just the difference between heaven and hell. What is heaven? Heaven is wonderful. I mean, as far as what you can see in the Bible, it's wonderful. It's full of joy. It's full of peace. You're in the presence of the Lord for eternity. There are mansions for God's people, the golden streets. I mean, no sickness, no more death, no more dying, no more diseases, no more sin. I mean, heaven is paradise. It's perfect. And hell is the opposite. Hell is desolation. Hell is destruction. Hell is torment and fear and all the things the Bible talks about. I mean, the opposite of God, I mean, when you don't want to follow God, you're left with nothing. And that's where God's people are. They have nothing and they're trying their best just to survive by living in caves and dens. And that's not what God wants for his people. God did not bring, and he even mentions bringing them out of Egypt, bringing them out of slavery. He brought them out of oppression. He brought them out of destruction. He brought them out of a place that he did not want them to be at, to bring them into the promised land, to bring them into a place flowing with milk and honey. But when God's people turn their backs on God, then they're left with the only other thing, oppression and nothing. Now, God, obviously, he tells them why they're being oppressed, because of their sin, and that's the way God is. When we truly seek God and there's something wrong in our life, God will tell us what it is, and then he has a solution for it. He's not going to leave them there. Notice, in verse 9, he says, I, God, I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all that oppressed you and drave them out from before you and gave you their land. He's talking about the Canaan. He's talking about the promised land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat. Now he sent this prophet to tell them this, to tell the elders of the people, and they would tell the rest of God's people what he said. But then God, he doesn't tell them, I'm going to raise up somebody to help you. But then God sends an angel to Gideon. Verse 11, there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which is in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abarizite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Now, obviously, God comes. He sends an angel to speak to Gideon, to let Gideon know that God is with you. You're a mighty man of valor. I mean, he's a humble man. We looked at that this last week, the fact that he was a humble man. He was humble in the fact that he was selfless. He was out there just trying to do his best to be able to provide for his family. And God's looking. God's looking for those men and women who are already faithfully serving him, who are already faithfully following him, who are already faithful in just the least. Think about Gideon. He's just trying to be faithful in providing for his family. He's hiding behind the wine press, threshing some wheat, just trying to get some food for his family. And that's who God's going to use. Somebody who's not afraid to put their life on the line to help others, just like Jesus Christ. I mean, kind of getting off of Gideon for a second, think about David. Why did God even choose David to be the next king of Israel? Does anybody know? Why did God choose David to be the next king? What was it that God said about David? You know, Luke, what is it that God said about David? Putting you on the spot. David was what? A man after? A man after God's own heart, right? Yeah, a man after God's own heart. David was a shepherd. And he had a heart for his sheep. He loved every single one of them. He protected them. Even when one would stray and get attacked by a bear or a lion, David would be right there. David didn't sit back and go, well, that dumb sheep, it's getting what it deserves because it should have stayed with me and stayed in the flock. No, he testifies that he went out there and with God's help, he killed the lion, he killed the bear. He would take the lamb out of the lion's mouth. And just like Gideon, God's choosing Gideon because Gideon has already shown himself to be faithful. He has shown himself to be humble, and just being humble, it's really admitting that we need God. We need God's help. A lot of people don't want to admit that they need God's help. A lot of people want to just, I'll stand on my own two feet, but really to be humble before God is to admit, I need God's help. I can't do anything without God. And just the grace of God in Gideon's life. Now this morning, as we think about Gideon, I want you to think about the fact that, let me get there, that Gideon was an obedient man. God's grace was going to help him to be obedient. Because in order to accomplish what God wants you to accomplish in your life, you and I have to be obedient to the way God wants us to do it. If we do not do it God's way, we cannot expect God to bless it and help us. It has to be done God's way, and it goes against self. It goes against pride. It goes against what human thinking and philosophy tells you. Look in your notes there at Judges chapter 6 and verse 36. Now, in order to become an obedient follower of Christ, an obedient follower of God's word, we have to allow faith to be constructed in our life. Faith is always being worked on. I will never get to a point in our life where, you know, we have enough faith. God will continue to stretch our faith even when we think, you know what, I have so much faith in God, nothing can shake my faith, and then something happens and it's like, I better get on my knees and pray because I don't know what's going to happen. How am I going to do this? And it's always God wanting our faith to stretch and to grow. But Gideon's faith was under construction. With the threat of the Midianites looming over his head, he needed a confirmation from the Lord that he really was the man for the job. Now here's God. God's telling Gideon, you know, kind of skipping some verses here, but if you were to read the entire chapter, you would see where God speaking to Gideon. He's going to use Gideon to deliver his people from the oppression of the Midianites. And he's going to tell them, he tells them exactly how he's going to do it. In fact, let's see here. Well, even before that, when you look at look. Look at 14. 14 and follow. I'll just read some verses here. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? I mean, God's telling him exactly, you know, you're going to save the Israelites from the Midianites. He said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. I mean, Gideon just wants assurance that, you know, this is truly God's will, and this is what God's one talking to him. It says, depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee and bring forth my present, and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour. The flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot and brought it out unto him under the oak and presented it. And the angel of God said to him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that it was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said to him, peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. It goes on, and Gideon goes and he builds an altar. I mean, Gideon goes and he tears down his father's altar. The people get mad about this. When you get to verse number 36, again, Gideon still wants confirmation that it's God's will for him to do this. Because, again, you think about what God's asking him to do. He's asking him, you're going to be used. I want you to rise up and you're going to save your people out of the hands of the Midianites who have been oppressing you for 7 years. 7 years of destroying their crops, 7 years of taking their livestock, 7 years of being oppressed by the Midianites. And I can kind of, I mean, just being a human, I can see where after 7 years of just all of this, really, God, you're going to use me? How can I do this one thing? How can you actually use me? And yet that's exactly what God wants to do, is to use people. He wants to use his people to help people, to bless people. But he will use those who are already exhibiting faith in their life, who are already following the Lord and trusting the Lord. But sometimes our faith does need to be developed. Even though we have faith that there is a God and God can do anything, our faith in him using us has to be developed. Look at verse number 36. You know the account of Gideon, but let's look at these verses, because Gideon, sometimes people take what I'm about to read out of context and they will try to apply it to their life at different times. Well, if God wants me to do this, then God needs to do this. So I know that he wants me to. God's given us his word. His word is what tells us how to live our life and what we are to do. All right? Gideon didn't have the written word of God. We do. God's given us his word that we can read, and God speaks to his word. But sometimes I'm going to read it, but sometimes people will take what's called the Gideon fleece and say, well, if God really wants me to do this, then he's going to have to do this. God does not bargain with people. You do not use God like a genie in a bottle and say, well, you know, I'm going to rub it, and if God really wants me to, then he's going to grant me my wish. That's not how God works. Gideon here in verse 36 through 40, he's wanting confirmation. He needs confirmation from God that God truly is going to be with him and that God is truly going to use him to do what God wants him to accomplish. In verse 36 there in your notes, Judges chapter 6 under letter A, the development of faith. And Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, all right? He's not saying, if you want me to do this, Lord. He's saying, okay, you've said that you're going to use me. And so, Lord, if that's true, in verse 37, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. Now, he's not questioning God's power. Again, he knows that God can do anything. But again, remember, 7 years of being oppression, 7 years of not seeing the blessing of God, 7 years of really struggling for life and just trying to help your family to survive another day, and then all of a sudden, God speaks to you and says, I'm going to use you to deliver the people. I don't see how. Lord, would you help me? My faith has kind of wavered. My faith is not as strong as it used to be because of these 7 years. So he knows that God can, and that's why he puts this test out there. It's not that he's doubting God. And you read in the context, he's not doubting God. If he was doubting God, then he would not have asked God to do this, something that only God could do. God, who is the creator of the heaven and earth, the creator of nature. There is no Mother Earth. God's the creator of the weather. God can cause it to rain in one spot and not rain one block away. I mean, God can do anything. So Gideon is wanting God to help his confidence in God. Help my faith, Lord. I know you can do this, so will you do this? Let there be dew on the fleece only, but let the ground around it be dry. Verse 38, and it was so. He gets up the next morning, and it's exactly, for he rose up early on the morrow and thrust the fleece together and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. I mean, a bowl full of water. It wasn't just, you know, it was a little damp. I mean, it was full. All right. Verse 39, and Gideon said unto God, let not thine anger be hot against me. I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night. Now understand, I mean, when you read this, let me just finish. And God did so that night, verse 40, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. God had no problem doing this for Gideon. That tells me Gideon was not questioning what God can do. He was wanting God to help his faith. Lord, I need my faith to be strengthened. Lord, I need to know without a shadow of doubt that you truly do want to use me. Someone that I don't think, Lord, is worthy of this. I mean, there's got to be somebody else, Lord, that you can use. But Lord, if you truly do, would you just help me to know without a shadow of doubt? So, I mean, God knows the heart. God knows who truly is trusting the Lord and truly needing God just to help their faith, and someone who just, like the Pharisees, remember, after Jesus had already done many miracles, they said, show us a sign you're from heaven. Well, he already was healing people, right? He already did miracles that they saw, and yet they're going, show us a sign. Well, okay, that person doesn't really care, all right? Gideon, though, we can see he does have a heart for God, but he needs his faith to be strengthened, and God does not have a problem doing that, because God wants our faith to be strengthened. He wants us to be assured that he is active in our life. He does want to use us, and he'll be the one that gives us the ability and the capability of doing it. Now, God never scorns a sincere heart that is seeking to believe. Gideon asked God to prove himself through the fleece, and God did. As he learned to trust God and obey his word, his faith grew. Now, in our lives, the secret to developing our faith is hearing and responding to the word of God. We don't need to use Gideon's fleece to know whether or not God wants me to. God, if you don't want me to drink alcohol, then when I wake up, cause my bottles to be empty. Right? His word already says not to drink alcohol because any man that does, he's deceived by it. And God talks about the alcohol and talks about how it destroys lives. I mean, again, just there just sometimes people will use God as a fleece to do what they want to do. Again, you know, the Bible says, touch not mine anointed, do my prophet no harm. That is speaking about the man of God. That if you disagree, I'm not talking about necessarily me, though I'm a pastor, but there's been times in my life where I've disagreed with a pastor, being just a church member, and guess what? I never went to that man and got in his face and screamed and yelled, as I know some people have. I simply prayed about it and asked God to change his heart or to show me I'm wrong, you know, Lord, show me if I'm wrong. If I'm right, then would you change his heart? Let him know that, you know, he's misinterpreting the scripture or whatever the case may be. All right? Because Jesus is the head of the church. And I had somebody years ago come into my office, sit down, and say to me, my wife was sitting in there as a witness, and say, I prayed about this, and I told God if he didn't want me to say anything to keep my mouth shut. And she went on just to say some things. I'm thinking, you don't even know God. Because everything she said was wrong. She was a troublemaker in the church. And everybody knew it. There were people that would not come to the church because she was still there. What I'm saying is, don't use God as a fleece. God's word tells us how we are to conduct our life, how we are to live for the Lord, all right? And when God does speak to your heart and God wants you to do something, you believe God speaking to your heart, then you and I need to go to the Word of God to get confirmation, all right? To get confirmation that that's truly what God wants us to do, and God will. God will give you that confirmation, all right? So in our lives, the secret of developing our faith is hearing and responding to the Word of God. D.L. Moody once said, I prayed for faith and it did not come. But when I read the Word of God, then faith came. It's God's Word. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. All right? If you see that you are weak in faith, consider if you are also weak in Scripture intake. All right? If our faith is kind of weak and we're struggling, then we need to assess, well, how much time are we spending in the Word of God? Because the Word of God is what increases our faith, helps our faith to grow. All right, and that's what God says in His Word. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If we want to grow in faith, consider how we can increase our Scripture intake by reading, studying, memorizing, and hearing the preaching of God's Word. Gideon's faith was growing. In this next chapter, we see him exercise it in a powerful way. All right? So, the development of faith, but also the display of faith. Displaying our faith. The time had come for Gideon's faith to be tested. And God will. I mean, maybe the younger ones in here haven't quite realized it yet, but the older believers in here have realized that, you know what? As your faith has grown, in order for your faith to continue to grow, God will test it. And He will test it in ways that you at times will think, there's no way I'm going to survive this. There's no way I can survive my faith being stretched like this. Lord, you have to help me. I mean, it's just like the analogy of building muscles. Someone who's working out, someone who wants to build muscle. I mean, they over-exercise the muscles until they tear. And then they rest. And the muscles repair themselves and get bigger, and they just, it's a process that goes over and over again. As a bodybuilder wants to get bigger and bigger, well, they have to stretch themselves. They have to start lifting heavier weights to damage the muscle so they can take in protein to repair the muscle. It just gets bigger and bigger. I mean, it's the same as faith. Our faith will be stretched and stretched because God wants it to continue to grow and to grow, and we understand that. Now, as the leader of the Israelite army, Gideon had to choose between God's way or man's way of winning the battle. Just like Joshua had to choose between what he was being told on how to defeat the city of Jericho versus what his battle instinct was telling him. He had to kind of put that aside and submit to something that did not make sense, but if God's telling me, if this is God's plan, then it makes completely sense to Him. It's me trusting Him. It's me following by faith. Now, the Israelite army had about 32,000 men, 1/6 of the Midianite army. Incredibly, however, the Lord said the problem with the Israelite army was not that it was too small, but that it was too large. In fact, I want you to look at chapter 7. In verse number 3 of chapter 7, it says, "Now therefore," God speaking to Gideon, "now therefore go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. So he starts off with 32,000. 22,000 are scared to death, so they get to go home. 10,000 remained. I mean, 32,000, that's a pretty good group. 10,000 is a pretty good group. But you read on, verse 4, "And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down unto the water. I will try them for thee there." God says, bring down the 10,000 there to the water, and I will try them for you. I'm going to prove them. I'm going to weed out the ones that don't need to remain. Can you imagine what might have been going through Gideon's head? I know what would have been going through my head. 32,000, okay, all right. It's not as many as the Midianites, but again, God can do anything, right? There's 32,000 of us, and there's a whole lot of them, and God can just help us. And God's like, all right, well, that's too many. So tell the people, whoever's scared and fearful, they can go home. And can you imagine Gideon? All right, man. Whichever one of you are scared, you don't want to go into the battle, God says you can go home. Now, I'm sure people didn't just casually, okay, bye, see ya. I'm sure they were like running, like, oh, I'm out of here. Can you imagine Gideon standing there going, holy moly, that's a lot of men that are going home. He's like, okay, well, at least we got 10,000. I know that God can do, he can do this with 10,000. I mean, there's nothing God cannot do. And then for God to say, okay, you still have too many. What? Lord, what do you mean I got too many? I mean, I had 32,000, now I got 10,000. You say I have too many? But that's where faith comes in, just trusting God knows what he's doing, even when it doesn't make sense, right? God is always right. In verse 4 again, and the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many, bring them down unto the water, I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people unto the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, every one that lappeth of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, every one that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. Now, obviously, God chooses the 300 that showed themselves ready. I mean, just they got the water, they brought it up to their mouth. The other men got down on their hands and knees and put their heads down. So they weren't, you know, looking around. They weren't prepared. They didn't have a battle mindset. Well, I thought I turned that off. Dylan, I know that I turned notifications off. So, I don't know. Anyway, so God chooses the 300 men that did not put their heads down, but the ones that kept their heads up, looking around. They had the battle mindset. They were looking for the enemy. And God wants us to have a sober mind. He wants us to be vigilant. Because, in fact, look at 1 Peter chapter 5. just as Gideon is going into battle and he's going to fight against the enemy, we have an adversary that we know of that fights against us, and we've got to be sober-minded. We've got to be vigilant, knowing he's always lurking around, all right? We got to be ready. And in verse number 8 of 1 Peter chapter 5, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So God wants us to be sober-minded and have this battle mindset that, you know what, I have an adversary that's always lurking around. He's always looking for an opportunity to pounce on me, an opportunity to shoot his fiery darts. And I have to be ready. I have to be knowledgeable of his tactics. And we can know the devil's tactics. He doesn't use any new tactics. One of the oldest tactics he uses is questioning God's word, is getting God's people to question what God said or what God meant when God spoke. But again, back to Gideon and the men that he has. God may ask you to do something that goes outside your realm of understanding, like Gideon, who trusted that God knows what he was doing. When you are on the Lord's side, you have no reason to fear any threat that could come from this world. And Romans 8:31, there in your notes, what shall we then say to these things? Good grief. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Right? Whose side are you on? The Lord's side, right? Who's your protector? Who has a hedge of protection around you? The Lord does. And we always have to remind ourselves that even if God wants us to do something that's out of our comfort zone, something we don't quite understand, the Lord, isn't there a better way? Like Gideon, I mean, he starts out with 32,000. He ends up with only 300 men. Yet he had to trust God. He had to fully trust God. And guess what? God already showed Gideon that he could trust him and that God was going to do this. God already helped Gideon's faith to grow and to be strong. Now, Gideon just had to follow and to trust and to allow himself not to resort to fear, but just to keep relying on the fact that God's faithful. God said he was going to do it, and I'm going to trust him. Yep, God could have done it with 32,000. He could have done it with 10,000. I guess he wants to do it with 300, because in the end result, what is it that God wants out of my life and your life? What's the number one thing that God wants out of your life? And it is for him to be glorified. For him to be glorified in your life and my life, we can always say, the Lord did it. It was God. It sure wasn't me. God did it, and God gets the glory for it. Now, God's next step for Gideon was to take his army to the river, and he dwindled it down to 300. By faith, Gideon trusted God's direction. After that step, only 300 men remained. Just like with Gideon, God's looking today for humble, obedient men and women who will trust his word rather than lean on their own wisdom. A lot of people struggle with that. A lot of God's people struggle with truly trusting God versus leaning upon their understanding and their wisdom. But we have to make ourselves trust God and lean upon God. We know it, but the test comes in the middle of a trial, in the middle of a time of needing to make a decision. It's easy to sit in church and think, I know this. I know God's in control. I trust God all the time. But then when we're faced with something, that's the true test. Do I really trust God? And there will be that struggle, there will be that temptation, that being pulled from one side to the other. But we always have to surrender and submit to the Lord, knowing the Lord is right, knowing the Lord can do anything. In Jeremiah 29:11, there in your notes, "For I know the thoughts I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." What a wonderful truth that is from God himself, that God has thoughts of peace. God never will take you into a situation to kill you and destroy you unless you are living in grotesque sin and you've gone so far that God just needs to take you home before you do any more damage. If you're living for the Lord and you're trusting the Lord, God will lead you into storms at different times, not to drown us and destroy us, but to build our faith, to help us draw closer to him, and for him to be glorified and magnified. That night, the Lord led Gideon to spy on the Midianite camp. Gideon overheard one Midianite tell about a dream he had that the Midianites would be defeated. Think about this. Look there in your notes, Judges chapter 7, verse 13 through 15. Because even though Gideon has already, he's got the confirmation from God through the fleece that God definitely is going to use him. His confidence is built. Here he is. He's willing to go with only 300 men, trusting God that God's going to do it. God has to do it. And yet God still is helping Gideon to know that God's with him and God's going to give you the victory. Go down to the camp. And he goes down there in verse 13, "And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow." These are two Midianites talking. Two Midianites there talking and said, "Behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian and came unto a tent and smote it that it fell and overturned it, that the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host." Think about it. God allows Gideon to go down and to hear about some man's dream. A Midianite who sits there and tells a fellow Midianite about his dream, and they say, this is nothing more than Gideon, the son of Joash. There's plenty of people named Gideon. No, make sure he says the son of Joash. Well, that's his father. This is God. God is always helping us with our faith growing. He's always helping us to have confidence in God and God's ability. And we'll look at the rest of it next week, but just the fact that encourages Gideon. And it should encourage us when God speaks to us through his word and gives us the confidence that we need. It should help our faith to grow, and it should help us to trust him even more the next time we're faced with some obstacle, some difficulty, some situation that we don't know how we're going to overcome it. We don't know the answer to it, but we know that, you know what? Looking back on our experience, I can see where God helped me there. So you know what? God can definitely help me there, and I'll just seek him for the answer and for the deliverance. We serve a wonderful God. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Father, for your grace in our life. We ask, Lord, that you would continue to help our faith to grow. Pray, Lord, you would help us to continue to trust your word, always seek